following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Good evening. This is It Came From The Radio. I'm Hassan Godwin. I'm sitting in the studio by myself right now because I'm waiting for Charlie Saladino to appear. Oh, sorry. I'm sitting here with Tom. Tom's upset with me now. And should be on the phone with Mark Torres.
Yes, I am here.
Hello, Mark.
Hello. I'm actually calling from the past. I found my time travel machine. I traveled back in time, and now I'm looking at a Charlie Chaplin movie that's coming out.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Just for the first time? Did you travel?
Yeah,
Did you travel back in time in the DeLorean?
No, it was a phone booth.
The phone booth. All right. Was it the policeman's phone booth? Like a big one, or because that's significant for news that we have this evening.
Or, it was just the half one.
They don't even have phone booths anymore. That's not true. You're not telling the truth, Mark.
All right. That's
why don't you start off the show, Mark? Since you're the boss.
And there comes Charlie walking into the.
Yes,
studio.
You can see. Don't use your magic trick. I know you can see us.
So if anyone is having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also on the GDB website, you can actually see the live in-studio webcam. You just hit the little watch us live, you hit the GDB and hit the 1240 and get the password, and then you can see us waving hi or not, just actually standing there for 10 seconds apart. Right?
Hey, we're waving. We wave, and, but that's not, it's useless. No, it's only a 10-second interval, so nobody really knows what we're waving. We always look spastically uncoordinated.
Like there's an earthquake going on?
Yeah, exactly.
And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. Let's see, I have tons of news here, but I know Hassan had his own special Hassan news, and the desk of Hassan got one.
It's not actually special. But it will be in addition to your news.
Okay, so you want me to, I'll do mine first and then I'll throw it to you?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So, New York's Mayor Bloomberg, along with Marvel Editor-in-Chief Joe Quesada, announces the creation of Spider-Man, You're Hired. It's an all-new comic book highlighting city resources, New York City resources, available to New Yorkers navigating the job market. The comic, which features an unemployed Peter Parker starting his job search.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow. So unemployment has reached the Marvel Comics universe. That's basically what everyone's saying. All right. That's
you remember last week we were talking about the vote. People lose their jobs, so there you go.
I just want to tell you that Charlie has slipped into the studio while you were talking, so that's why I sound slightly distracted, because we're having a slight technical difficulty here getting him set up. But he did wander in, so we are at almost full strength.
So while we're continuing setting up, I'll say what Mayor Mike says about this comic. He says, quote, New York City provides free first-rate job training, placement, and assistance. And we want every New Yorker that needs help to know about it. So we ask Spider-Man to help spread the word. That's an actual quote.
Does Spider-Man have a job, technically? I know Peter Parker does, or did,
frequently does.
And then doesn't, and then does, and then doesn't, and then does. So what about Spider-Man? Does he represent the workforce in New York?
I guess so.
Is he a good mascot for the New York workforce?
Actually, what is it? Spider-Man does not have a job. His job is saving people's lives.
Yeah, that's not real. And the cops kind of don't like him. The cops are against him. So, I don't know if that's a good message to send.
I understand the one time he got a reward for doing good, it turned out he couldn't do anything with it because the check was made out to Spider-Man, and no bank on Earth would ever accept it. I actually saw the first edition of You're Hired, and like the first page, Jonah, what's-his-face, fires...
Jonah Jameson fires
Peter Parker, and that's why he's on the job line.
That's actually not funny, but
can
it's
you imagine it's just, the actual bank. You know that he goes up. I'm really Spider-Man. Look, it's me.
Sorry, pal.
Yeah, no, that's a big no. Actually, the Bank of New York would have probably cashed it. when I worked at this other company that I won't talk about, we used to have a bank account at the Bank of New York, and they would cash checks for me. I would come in every week as a highly visible person. They knew me, I knew them, and they would cash checks under different names for me on a regular basis, just out of consistency. So even though I'm slandering the Bank of New York, they're gone anyway. Chase has bought them, so it's over. It doesn't really matter. But Bank of New York was pretty bad. They would have probably cashed Spider-Man's check, no problem.
Okay.
If I knew there was a Bank of New York around, I would actually try.
It's like
that.
Your friendly neighborhood Spidey Bank.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. I just wandered in.
How are you, Charlie?
Oh, God.
You look like you've...
I'm just a little slice of heaven tonight.
You look like you were fighting the raccoons in the parking lot.
Yeah, it was fun today. Lovely holiday season draws ever so closer,
we
get the holiday idiots on the road.
Really?
Which is, I will do anything humanly and not humanly possible to make this car do amazing things to get to that sale.
Things that it should not do.
Yes, things that cars aren't made to do.
Saw the car chasing bullet one too many times.
Yeah.
That and the French Connection.
Exactly. Actually, I've seen... Just picture the French Connection and the parking lot at Macy's.
During Dawn of the Dead,
zombies
all over the road.
Exactly.
I came up today on the LIE, and it was a parking lot. It was astonishing. An hour trip turned into about 2.5 hours. It was terrible. Yeah. I'm glad I actually left very early because I wouldn't be here right now.
It's amazing because, like, every day of the year I travel Jericho Turnpike, and now it's becoming a career move. It's like you can't get anywhere on Jericho. It's like, oh my God.
It's like there's only two modes on the road, either world's largest parking lot or everyone graduated from the Mad Max School of Driving.
Yeah. At least they still, for the most part, they still signal. But it's kind of like a vestigial thing.
Yeah, no.
They signal as they're moving.
Yes, yes. They signal as they're turning. You are turning. Okay. Oh, well, it's okay. You put your signal
on. Good thing I already pegged you as a moron.
You made it safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a good thing I already pegged you as a moron because I knew you were going to make that move.
It's like Talladega Nights, with all due respect, that line.
Yeah.
It's all right if you say with all due respect.
Yeah.
So no matter when you turn that signal on, it's all right.
Sorry, Mark.
It's fine. It's good that you guys are alive and safe and well.
Well, yeah. So for some of us, we don't know where Herman is. Herman's on the moon right now. He's catching a moon turkey for dinner tomorrow.
Have you ever had a moon turkey?
Yeah.
Moon turkey.
A Luna Goblin.
Yeah, a Luna Goblin. That's even better.
It's like in Rocky where he's chasing the chicken down.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think he's got it down to a science by now, but, he can't have anything other than the Luna Goblin. So, once you have it once, you can't ever go back to the normal turkey.
Exactly.
So that's where he officially is this week.
Yeah.
Next week it'll be someplace else.
Someplace else, yeah.
Okay. That's funny.
What else going on in the news there, Mark?
Moving along. Harry Potter. breaks the franchise record, making $125.1 million this opening weekend.
Wow.
In sixth place behind Iron Man 2 with $128.1 million as of, you know, the highest grossing of all time. Of course, Dark Knight is number one at $158.4 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Dumb Knight.
Yeah, but is that in dollars or galleons?
Even though I actually saw related to this on what was it? Must have been Friday. I went to my friend's house so we could go see the last 3 days with Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
And it was one of those weird, surreal situations in the city where you're walking to the movie theater, and on the way to your particular movie theater, you pass like two or three other movie theaters that just don't happen to be showing what you want to see, but they're all in this like straight line down Broadway in Manhattan. And two of them were showing Harry Potter, and both of them had actual lines around the block. I haven't seen this since 1970.
Shades of Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. It was astonishing. I was like, wow, people actually still... The last time I stood online for a long time for tickets was in 1999 for episode one. And it turns out I didn't even have to do that because everybody...
I remember that, Dan.
Yes. Yeah, you remember. Yeah, I remember that because I got you a ticket and you complained about the movie the whole time. But, That was the last time I've ever actually done it, and that's the last time I can think of that I've seen something like that. So I did imagine that Harry Potter was going to be a big deal this weekend.
And they had a $1 billion.
It earned it. It's a number seven of an 8-film franchise, and it is just going strong. You know, it hasn't dropped off since the first one. It's just getting bigger.
Have to give them credit for one thing. They made the deliberate decision not to bother doing 3D in the first half because they said there was no point. Too much of it was just shot in interiors, and it would just be 3D for the sake of 3D.
Right.
For the big climactic battle sequences, though, they will use 3D in the next one.
That next movie is going to be you're not going to be able to get in.
Oh yeah, you'll need a machete.
Oh my god!
And I will. I'll take a machete. Just because that's a great idea.
Machete kills.
Machete must kill so machete can see Harry Potter.
Machete, the Harry Potter years. But good for HP over there, because when that movie came out, all I saw was bad reviews, and good for them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm reading the reviews, I'm saying... So what?
Yeah,
you're going to make a difference?
Yeah, that book is a...
I'm not going to mention the name of the critic, but I mean...
You should. Call him out.
He worked at the Bank of New York.
He does. He works at the Bank of New York. Oh, what am I going to get in trouble? The Bank of New York was bought. It's over. There is no Bank of New York anymore. Don't worry about it.
And that's why they cashed everybody's check.
Yeah, we're not going to get sued. The Bank of New York is gone. Zippo. God. Don't worry about it.
And it was a good bank.
It was. It was
a good bank, a good city. I loved it.
It was New York's bank.
Yes. As in Banco.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of banks and money and being sued.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Segway.
As most of you remember, we mentioned a few times on the show that there was a lawsuit between Warner Brothers and the families of Superman's creators. Now, there's a new lawsuit over that lawsuit. So what's going on is that Warner Brothers is suing the lawyer for the Siegel and Schuster estate for convincing the family to go back out of the deal and to ask for more money.
Oh, a counter lawsuit.
Wow.
I guess that's what it's called. I don't even know what to call that.
Wow. That is the most ridiculous waste of time and money I've ever heard of.
Yes and no. You are allowed to sue for that sort of thing. It's there's a specific term for it, barratry.
Barratry? Does it go along the lines of public defamation or slander?
Is a lawyer deliberately prodding people who are into taking legal action they wouldn't necessarily do otherwise.
A lawyer deliberately plotting?
Prodding.
Okay.
Right. In other words, deliberately stirring up trouble.
Oh, okay.
Saying,
creating clients for himself instead of waiting for him to walk in the door.
Yeah, it's like ambulance chasing.
Like inside lawyering.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's more than just ambulance chasing, because it's actually going to people who may not even think that a crime or a civil action exists, and deliberately
convincing them to do it.
Right.
That's, wow. I've been a victim of it.
Yeah, it's a little known but very real crime, barratry.
All right, well then that's a good lawsuit then.
Yeah.
Get the lawyers.
Yeah.
If you can prove that you wouldn't be shelling out this money for these legal bills if this lawyer had kept his mouth shut, then yeah, that's valid.
A good thing.
Yeah, I would do it if I could prove it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably hard to prove, but
no, yeah, absolutely.
But when you're talking about millions of dollars, it's certainly worth the effort.
You'll get your own $1 million mouthpiece to prove that the other mouthpiece was wasting his time and your time. And
it's an endless vicious cycle.
And the word goes round and round.
Yes, it does.
Okay, Mark.
Yes.
Next.
speaking on the same line of suing.
Oh,
and
boy.
Potential lawsuits and companies going out of business.
You dug deep for that segue.
No, I don't really have one. You remember those collectible drinking glasses featuring Superman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, like Wizard of Oz things? Like it was like glass and it had like the image on them.
Way back when? From how long ago?
From a long time ago, like the 70s and 80s.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, they're making new ones now.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yes,
I had Empire Strikes Back. I had the Star Wars ones. They used to come like at McDonald's.
Used to
give those out, and they had etchings on the glass. They had designs colored and painted on the glass. And they were actual glasses. Recently, they've been putting them out. They've been plastic. Plastic, or they have they've been see through plastic, transparent plastic, or they've been actual like thermal plastic with like holographic images. Taped or glued to the sides. It hasn't been the quality that we used to get back in the 80s.
Here's the thing about that quality. The Fed has seen that they discovered that those collectibles have a lead content between 16% and 30.2%.
Wow.
And the federal limit is 0.03%.
Oh, Lord.
Wow.
So we have lead poisoning from that.
Yeah,
my grandmother broke mine, so maybe she knew. And she smashed it. Yeah, did you break that because it had lead in it, Grandma, and you wanted me to be all right? No, I just knocked it off the counter because I felt like it.
take this glass made of durable lead paint here.
I love you.
We call it Roman Viaduct brand. Yes.
Here, little Johnny, live long and prosper. Drink up.
Wait a minute. So they wanted
you'll be as great as the Roman centurions.
They wanted to reissue these glasses, and they found out that there's too much lead content in the original way that they were manufacturing them.
Well, here's the kicker. Warner Brothers made new glasses. This is where it all came from for the Green Lantern movie.
Oh,
and those. Wow. It's the most toxic of the products exceeding the federal maximum limit by 677 times.
Wow.
Good Lord. Were they, just had to guess, were they manufactured in China?
In a factory called Kill America? We'll get their young. If we can't get them, we'll get their kids.
It's like Capital Pigs No More.
Yeah.
That was the name of the company. But only there was a different translation.
Oh, my God. This is why you need these things, you know? It does seem annoying that you have, like, an organization that will go around checking the lead content of things. Sometimes you just want to eat your pulled pork sandwich and not worry about how many dead people are in it. But it's always good to have someone just come up quietly and go, you know, you're eating the radioactive equivalent of a plutonium rod in your sandwich. Every now and then I get health conscious, and it's good to know these things so that I can avoid something like that while I'm on my fifth McRib sandwich of the day.
little Johnny is living in Queens and the Bronx, and he's using his lead glass to drink hot water from the faucet.
From the lead-lined faucets with lead content.
Drink
but
up,
they put
Johnny.
A little fluoride in it, so his teeth are going to be on
there. His teeth will be the only one surviving. He'll have that, like, chatting teeth, the comedy teeth.
The dark teeth.
That's all the less left of little Johnny. We keep him on the porch there. Watch him.
We just can't understand. His IQ test seems to be going down every year.
Yeah.
but his glow-in-the-dark ratio seems to be going up. He's got rads, you know, behind the Geiger counters going nuts every time he walks by.
And it's so hard to get glasses for Johnny with that third eye.
when contacted for comment, Warner Brothers said, "It is generally understood that the primary consumer for these products is an adult, usually a collector."
Oh.
Trying to get out of that.
So it's okay. The adult collectors don't usually drink out of these glasses.
Yeah.
Top
up. Oh, my goodness. Are you saying that they were distributed already? They're out in the stage of distribution?
No, they are out there.
I'd like to know. Just, you know, they've been out there for years. I'd like to know who was the one that came up. Hey, look at those glasses. I'm going to test them for lead. It's been 30-some-odd years, but I'm going to test them anyway.
That's what I'm saying about that organization. It's good to have those guys who just decide to stick a thermometer in everything to see just what they're dealing with.
And this is no kidding involved here. I'm sure some scientist was sitting at his table and looking at one of those glasses and going, that just doesn't look right. I'm testing it. Oh my God! Yeah. The lead content.
Every time I turn the lights out, the lights don't actually go out.
Yes.
The room is still lit, so I gotta wonder that this glass is glowing green on my table and burning a hole through the mahogany finish of my desk.
And look on my wall.
Yeah, there might be something wrong with it.
And look on my wall. It's an imprint of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Although, actually, you know, back in the day, these days they use phosphorus for glow-in-the-dark, and it's green.
Yeah.
But they used to use radium, which is radioactive. And I've seen stuff that had it, and it glows a cold blue.
Yeah, in the old days, they used to break those things open, and the stuff used to spill out, and your mom used to be, don't get that on you. Don't open that. Don't break it open and don't get any of it on you.
Yeah, they say that the woman and they used to use it on watches, which is why a lot of people were having fertility problems because it was always down there by their waist. But anyway, the woman who used to paint the watch faces, they'd put sharp points on their brushes by putting them in their mouth. They say by the time a lot of these women had been working in these factories for several years, they would literally, when they exhaled in the dark, you'd see a blue glowing cloud coming out.
Wow. That's scary.
Right there.
Well, you know some of these exit signs that they use that glowed. A lot of them are being taken away now because they have that product in it.
Radium.
Yeah. And, you know.
So we're all dead. One way or another.
Just live for every day, guys.
Ultimately, nobody gets out of here alive.
Yeah, because in my high school, every wall in my high school had asbestos in it.
Yeah.
So it just hasn't caught up to me yet.
Yeah.
But we're dead.
Like the lead in the glasses, you got about 30 years or something.
Well, that's fine. 30 years, I'll do 60. I can do that.
No, you can't. Because you'll reach 55 and you'll say, hey, about that 60 thing that I said about 30 years ago. I was just kidding.
If you really want to get paranoid, they say that buildings that the concrete was poured back in the days when they were doing atmospheric nuclear tests absorb some of it and are radioactive to this day.
Good. You know, we're dead.
That's it.
That's why everyone's
dying. Let's all take our little
all over the
McDonald's
place.
Star Wars glasses and go in those buildings and drink hot water.
You watch TV shows of people in the 30s, and they all had their hair, and they were all thin. And I understand it's a remake of actors for today, but they're going off of reference and pictures and stuff. Everybody was in shape. Everyone had a full head of hair at 40 and 50. Everybody,
cancer used to be fairly rare.
Yeah. Until, you know, now.
The only thing that was killing
like
people,
cost,
yeah, that was killing people back then, like in the 30s and 40s, and they didn't even know, was the cigarettes. Of course,
yeah,
the amount of old-time movies you see, everybody
Yeah.
Everybody's smoking cigarettes. It's great. It's the thing to do.
Yeah. Well, you know what we have to thank that for? We have World War I to thank. I mean, prior to World War I, yeah, people smoked, but cigarettes were considered low class. You know, the guy who went to the bucket shop had no decoration except a piece of broken mirror might smoke a cigarette. No, most people, they maybe once or twice a day would have a cigar or a pipe. And women didn't smoke at all. But then during the First World War, cigars are fairly fragile, and pipe tobacco
is
expensive. So they used to give cigarettes to the guys that in the trenches simply because it was the easiest way to get them tobacco for their at that point extremely mild addiction, and they were able to get it free because it's from the army, and they got addicted. And then when they came back home, they were still smoking the cigarettes, and the kids of the day saw them. Of course, the World War I doughboy heroes, they had to be emulated.
Yeah, yeah.
So they started smoking cigarettes, and that's how cigarettes got popular. Because before that, like I said, it was all pipes and cigars, unless you were really the lowest of the low.
Your own cigarette and whatever.
Yeah, you know, somebody who made his living by breaking legs for Boss Tweed.
Oh, wow. So speaking of dying and all this down bad news.
Mr. Segway.
Dying and all these things.
Ingrid Pitt, queen of the Hammer Horror film, died in London on Tuesday, shortly after her birthday. Yes, I know. I already had that one.
Stole that.
She was best known for her roles in horror films such as The Vampire Lovers and Countess Dracula. An interesting little fact about her is that she was a girl who survived the Nazi concentration camp and was quoted as saying that she doesn't like to watch horror movies. In an interview, she was quoted saying, I was in a concentration camp as a child. I don't want to see the horror. I think it is very amazing that I do horror films when I had this awful childhood. Maybe that's why I'm good at it.
Wow.
She was 73.
Yeah, she was a child. Her mother and her were in the concentration camps and she also escaped from someplace else. She jumped in a river or something.
Yeah,
it's in the
obit that Hazan has there.
Yeah, she escaped twice from someplace.
I can't find it.
But she has a biography. It's somewhere on there. I can't see it.
Yeah,
but it's. It's an interesting title. I like it. It's on the list paragraph there, a biography. What's it called?
You had it?
No, I don't have it.
All right. So while you're looking for it, why don't you just mention the other bit of news?
By the way, our friend Herman just called from the moon on his Lunagobber. So here, I'll run him through. We'll get everyone on.
Oh, gee.
Okay, Herman, you're on.
The reason why they had a full head of hair in the 30s and 40s because I gotta get a hot shot on that one. Because
nice segue, huh?
They didn't have stress.
There was no stress in the 30s and 40s?
Unless you counted the Great Depression and the rise of fascism and the first Red Scare.
30s, Hitler.
I think they had a lot of trees in the area, so that gave oxygen and nobody was getting cancer, you know? How about that one?
All right, so that's your take on it. That's your take is that they didn't have any stress. That's why
that's
they had
Thanksgiving. Don't pick on me.
That's not Thanksgiving.
Oh, he said stress.
Actually, what they probably didn't have a lot of were pesticides and artificial fertilizers.
And preservatives.
And of course, air and water pollution was an awful lot less.
And diet Cokes and sweet diet.
Right.
They only had saccharin, which turned out to be devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not too many people used it.
Yeah.
Tastes
fine. The reason why people are losing their hair because they watch movies like Avatar. And they got to go buy like uncut ones and uncut. You talk about Avatar again?
Not at the moment. I only have this one thing that I think that Charlie was talking about. Although Pitt had a series of other roles in film and television, it was 1970s vampires films, which drew cult following, and with fans crowning her England's First Lady of Horror. Was that what you were saying?
Right, that's her title. And she has a... carry on, Herman. I'll be right with you.
What cult following? Who, Vampira?
We're talking about Ingrid Pitt.
Oh, Ingrid Pitt, yeah. And also Caroline Monroe, too. She had a big following.
Yeah.
Did she die?
Yeah, Ingrid Pitt just passed away. That's why we're talking
Pitt
about
Ingrid Pitt passed away?
Are you listening to the show?
Wow, Herman.
I'm coming home. I mean, I
go to the moon for 1 minute, and all of a sudden everybody dies. It's a terrible time. This is a terrible time to be alive.
I can't believe it. She wasn't that old.
She was 73.
She was 73.
She was a good lady. I met her in person at 1974 convention. They did Famous Monsters at the convention with Creation in 1974. And they were like promoting Vampire Lovers at that time. But it came out in 1972. She was a doll.
This day and age, she wasn't that old, is right. And I think she actually was not in good health in the past couple of weeks, and she actually collapsed on her way to a birthday dinner celebration.
Well, that's how it all started.
Yeah.
She had an autobiography called Life is a Scream.
Yeah.
There you go. Life is a Scream. Nicely done, team.
And her mother said she had a strong sense of the dramatic even before I was born.
Yeah.
Hey, son, I'm sorry about last week that you were in the studio alone. You know, I mean, we with Tom. You weren't really alone. But,
no.
You know,
I was corrected on that this evening also.
The way you put this, it makes it sound like I'm behind bars and I'm fed raw meat.
Yeah, that's what the window's for.
That's why you're divided by the window.
Open the door, Hassan, quick, throw the meat in.
Free Tom, hopefully we're ready to
eat them. Yeah, watch out for the wild engineer, you know.
Johnny, get away from the glass, Johnny.
We're ready for the break?
No, wait, I got one more piece.
Look at him.
this was an addition from Tom. Tom gave us to tonight that on Monday. Yes, that would be
Monday.
Tom Ross, the crazy engineer. It was Monday. It was the 47th year anniversary of Doctor Who, the longest running science fiction series on television. It debuted in 1963, which was
the day after JFK was assassinated.
Wow, that's great.
So that was this Monday that just passed.
Do you know who played Doctor Who in the movies? You know, cinema?
Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing, yeah.
Peter Cushing. Yeah.
Which Tom corrected me on, that was...
who was one
the
of the
series
best?
First.
Yeah, who was one of the
Tom
best...
Baker.
Tom Baker.
Oh, no, the very first Doctor Who was Parnell.
Yeah, but he...
what's his name?
Herman asked who was the best or the most
famous.
I think Tom Baker. Well, yeah. That's your favorite. I think he's universally considered... A lot of people's favorite doesn't necessarily mean he was the best.
You know what else he played? He played Korra
in Sinbad.
Okay.
Golden Voyage, yeah.
Well, on this, according to Tom, because I didn't have this information personally, there have been 11 Doctors since the beginning, since 1963.
11 morphings.
Yeah, he's morphed 11 times.
Yes.
So 47 years on Monday.
They contemporary. The new Doctor Who, two young guys that were playing him.
Christopher Eccleston. I don't know who the second one was, but he just stopped. He did about I think 3-4 seasons, and then he's done now.
Right.
So they have a new Doctor, but I don't remember what the and I liked him. I thought he was.
He was
watched
good.
Those.
Yeah, Petrie was I think the second Doctor.
Yeah.
They just came out with the DVD set. On that.
Yeah, well, there's a project going on in Britain where they're trying to digitalize all of it. I mean, I know some of the episodes were lost forever because nobody thought to keep them.
Yeah.
And in case you were curious, the very first episode had actually two titles, An Unearthly Child / The Tribe of Gum.
Wow.
And in the second arc of stories they did was the one where they introduced the Daleks, which incidentally is considered the first example of modern merchandising of.
I don't want to be mean enough, but you know that commercial with the Spanish guy that they had the throat, he had the thing, he sounded like a Spanish garlic, you know. He got him swimming in Mexico, and then he had the, it was like a cigarette commercial. He had the thing to his throat. He says, I can't swim no more. He sounds like a Spanish garlic.
I'm not even going there, Herman.
I'm sorry, stop it.
Well,
robot,
had,
a Spanish robot. We want to throw.
There should be a law against calling from the moon.
Yeah, he had a. He was using an artificial voice box. It's the same way they did Robert the robot on Fireball XL5.
Oh, yeah.
And they say that was actually Anderson doing it himself using the artificial voice box.
Oh. There you go.
Stand by you, do a day gov. Stand by you, do a day gov.
Guess what? They were supposed to do a major motion pictures of Doctor Who in, I think, the mid-80s. Like a Star Wars.
In the mid-80s?
You know about that, right?
Yeah, something happened, though.
Something always happens.
Mark?
Yes?
I think now we're ready for that break.
Mark there?
I would say yes, we're ready for the break now.
Well, if you look at the time, we can actually just go forward to... it's up to you guys. You want to take a break? You want to go...
You want to take this break.
Yeah, we'll take this break.
We'll take the break.
All right, we'll take the break. We'll be right back with Camping Radio.
Wow, that was hot. Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Thank you. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
That was great.
Yeah,
that was the 2010 version of the Doctor Who.
Let me tell you something about that song. Uh-huh. I had another band, and we used to do Call Me from Blondie. Remember that song, Call Me? And I could do a song. I would start like Doctor Who. Do the Doctor Who theme in the solo. And they would look at me, the band.
Why would they look at you?
That's why they were looking at
me. Why would they do that? Stupid band.
So, right? I used to do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you almost killed a couple of veterans doing that. when we were doing the VFW thing, and you made them stand up forever.
Yeah, it's the theme song,
yeah.
That was great, that theme.
I spent most of the break asking Charlie about his t-shirt. He's got this kind of really awesome t-shirt on. So, excuse me, it sounds weird, but you have to see the t-shirt to know why I was asking him about it.
Yes, yeah, actually, Mark's seen the t-shirt. Mark, it's our friend... it's our friend Marissa Jade from Comic-Con. You've seen that shirt, right?
Yes, I have.
Very attractive young lady. She works for New York Models.
Is Mark in the studio or he's on the phone?
Oh, God. Anyway, she works for New York Models, and she's a very attractive young lady, and hopefully she'll be on the show pretty soon. And just a big hello to Marissa if she's out there, and hopefully, like I said, she'll get on the show pretty soon.
If she's depicted either as a demon from heaven or an angel from hell, one or the other.
But it's an awesome
Night
shirt.
The demon on the shirt.
Yeah, it's an awesome shirt. It's very, very sexy, like she is, like, and it's when just you, great artwork.
Show your chest. Everybody can see it.
Did you call me, Mark? Did you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah. You know, the last week, Charlie and I were having a discussion about Skyline, and you claimed on the radio, so you have to do it. What was your decision of the movie Skyline if you went to see it this past week? Which did you?
Yes, I saw Skyline.
Okay. And.
Can I put my input on Skyline?
Well, let him go first.
Come on, Mark. You talked about Skyline last week.
Anyway,
you
know what? There were aspects of it that were good. I understand what you were talking about, Mark.
Okay.
But no, that movie's there was no good. The other thing is that yes, I understand that if it had ended with the first ending instead of the second ending, it would have been a great ending, and in which case it might have turned it into a great movie. But the second ending really ruined the whole movie.
Uncalled for.
And absolutely, and you know what? If you take it as a side project and technically an independent film that these guys just put together and they made it, I think it's interesting, and they want to make two more, and they want to expand the story. So, you know, I'll reserve my judgment until all three are done.
Yeah, isn't it like District 9? You know, when he turns into, you know, at the ending, he smells the flower.
Don't,
you know, it's,
yeah, don't say the ending.
Got that concept, you know, like. That's that new wave alien invasion that takes over humans, you know? But this was a remake of Talk Alert. I know Tom knows what I'm talking about. Talk Alert was a 1957
movie. Yeah, answer the question. Let him answer the question.
Why? Answer the question. Why? I thought you were finished.
You asked the question, just went on going.
Wow. I forgot Mark angry from the phone.
No,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I thought it was, you know what was great? That no one ever talks about it. And I won't give anything away by talking about
the poster.
There was one, yeah, you know, the poster was fantastic. There's one hero in the film, and that's the whoever was the pilot of the stealth fighter.
Who actually got the bomb in there.
Yeah, that guy was that guy's a superstar. I mean, that guy survived. Luke Skywalker couldn't have pulled that off.
Yeah,
that was a great sequence. I thought that sequence was pretty intense.
You're right.
I don't understand. This is kind of a spoiler, but it's not, because it really doesn't give away a pivotal plot to the film. I don't understand how they nuked the mothership, and yet the spectators weren't irradiated from the explosion.
They just jumped behind the couch and that saved them.
Well, they could see it. Yeah, it was a it was an asbestos couch.
Yeah.
And that's what that's
yeah,
what
that's not a roll one.
Yeah. Like in the 50s.
Yeah. Quick, get behind the couch.
I don't understand that particular part. I thought it was
Indiana Jones can survive a atomic explosion inside a refrigerator.
That could happen. It was lead line. The refrigerator is lead line. Of course that couldn't happen. I mean, he would have gotten thrown. He would have been killed in the explosion or the shock or blah, blah, blah. But
and besides, people who hid in refrigerators back in those days when they had when they could only be opened from the outside usually suffocated
to
death.
Yeah, they died.
Yeah.
Like that old joke. You know what happens to people who carry around knives? They get shot. People who crawl into refrigerators usually die from suffocation, not from nuclear explosions. But it was extenuating circumstances. A, it was a nuclear explosion, so he crawled into a lead-lined refrigerator. That's A. That's how he survived that. And B, how he survived the refrigerator is that a nuclear bomb exploded right next to the fridge and knocked it open. So either one, you could put those two together, and in conjunction, it comes out that we have a sequel.
Okay.
Well, they radiation.
Did you like to win the aliens?
Yes, they did. In Indiana Jones 4, they addressed his radiation. I don't know how
they mentioned the radiation.
No, did they? In Skyline?
Yeah, what they did. They're like, we gotta get out of here. It's like radiation.
Yeah, they should have been irradiated by the blast. They shouldn't have been able to.
I understand.
Yeah. And she was worried about secondhand smoke. But they just you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was so many questions I had. It's like,
yeah, well, the baby's a mutant now anyway, because she was in proximity of a high-yield nuclear
exactly.
So that's
what do you think of the acting?
Yeah, it was, you know what it reminded me of? It was Cloverfield. That's a new format of movies now,
right,
where you kind of have these situations where these people are going along with their lives. They're usually all unscrupulous type characters who are flawed, like the old style, Friday the 13th horror movies, where they're all interested in debauchery and drugs and getting over. And then you throw a nuclear explosion or an alien invasion on top of it. It's the Dusk Till Dawn format, where one story takes place and it gets intersected by this completely outrageous secondary story, and it knocks the first story out of whack. Mm. And then you're just dealing with Assault on Precinct 13 with vampires for the rest of the
night. I just thought that character, the tough guy character, was such a big cliche.
Oh, the Hispanic guy?
Yeah.
Who came out of nowhere. Who
came out of nowhere and he took over.
Hotel security, yeah.
Yeah. It was
The movie had its moment.
I was just saying, like, shoot him first. Eat him first. Suck him up first. Anything first.
The movie does have its moments. I'm not taking that away from it, but what has happened
what both of us said, did you see, like, we both had merits and we didn't have merits, or, like,
no? Well, what the movie is, it's not really a story. It's a series of events, and that's what modern-day movies have become. They have become all a series of action sequences and random events that get strung together and hopefully make some kind of cohesive story.
Absolutely.
But the reason why everybody walks away from these stories unfulfilled is because there wasn't really a point to them. There wasn't really a theme. There wasn't any symmetry to it. There wasn't any poetry to it at all. It was just a series of events that got put together that made a decent action film, and the studio head sit down and go, okay, there's about 10, 15 different money shots in there. I could put together a decent trailer. We could get a really hot soundtrack in there.
One scene in the trailer that wasn't in the movie.
We could get a bunch of franchise going on there, and then they crank it out and they ship it, and people go to see it because they're into escapism, and no one realizes that when they walk away from it, they go, oh, okay, you know, I enjoyed that movie, I'm gonna go see it a 5 or 6 more times, and then about 6 months from now, I'm not even gonna remember that movie came out. And that's what's been happening. But the fact of the matter is that those 5 or 6 times that those people go back is reason enough for the studio to make yet another one of these really bad films. Yeah. And that's why it keeps perpetuating itself. Because if you watch Avatar is not a great film. But Avatar is an old-fashioned film, whereas it has a theme, it has a point to it, it has some pathos in it. It has like negation. It has it has a plot. It has its story arc for a hero's journey.
Can I ask you something?
In a second, I'll let you. I'll be happy to listen.
Your minute's almost up.
Well, I didn't say a minute. I said a second, and it's proverbial. Anyway, it's tangible. It's tangible brain food, and it's not just a whole bunch of special effects. That's why everyone is astounded by it. It's not like the movie's anything special.
Also,
people are astounded by Avatar.
Well, I'm going to tell you about
also Harmon. One second. Also, as I mentioned when we were critiquing Avatar, even though it's an old plot, there's a lot of new people out there who are seeing movies for the first time, and this is a new plot to them.
Right.
So, anyway, go ahead, Herman. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna tell you my concept on Avatar.
Go ahead.
Okay, I looked at it again. I mean, my daughter rented it, right? I'm not buying it, right? And once again, James, can I talk now? It's my turn. Once again, James Cameron bamboozled the human race to hate the human race with his liberal messages.
Oh, God.
With his liberal message, and he downs the humans. He downs the humans in this picture, okay? He's had something against the human race. He has something against
because that's where
the government's run, and he does a true film. He did it with the Terminator. He did it with Aliens. He's overrated. Okay, that's what I think of him.
Okay,
he hypnotizes people in a way that they miss all that.
Hmm.
Okay. So, Avatar is overrated and over-glorified, and when someone over-glorifies the film, I don't like it.
Okay. Here's the point that I was trying to make about that, is I said that the reason that people are captivated with Avatar and they don't know why and it's such a phenomenon isn't really because the movie is anything more special than any other movie that we've seen for the last two decades. It's the fact that in the last maybe half decade, it's one of the first high-budget, big-budget action movies that we've seen with actual story to it, with the fundamentals of what we grew up on, of the action stories and movies and plots and things that we grew up on.
Star Wars had a story, the last three Star Wars.
Anyway, and the fact of the matter is, when you couple just one iota of that old style storytelling with modern day special effects, it does come up. It does tend to inspire, a wondrous reaction from people, because not only do they have the eye candy, but they got a little bit of brain candy at the same time, and then they get caught up on it. The reason Avatar did so well is because there's been a lot of science fiction crap out there. There's been a lot of movies like Skyline where it was just a series of events with actually no plot, no story arc, no development in any way. You couldn't tell me. You really couldn't reach in and say that any one thing in Skyline happened for any particular reason, any reason to bring about the end results of the culmination of the film. You couldn't watch that and say,
if an alien invasion happens right now as we talk on this radio station, will we have time to hear somebody explain what's happening? No.
We only have about 3 minutes to explain what's happening.
No.
Right, so.
In real life, no,
they're doing it like a real life.
We're not talking about real life. We're talking about Avatar and Skyline, which are two things that are so far away from real life. It's not even funny. We got about 2.5 minutes, Mark. So, anything you want to add?
So, I'm going to jump on what you were saying, Hassan. I actually saw, it's not really sci-fi or what we're talking about, but it's about story. And I saw the movie Faster with the Rock, Dwayne Rock Johnson.
Right.
The other day, and that actually it had a really good story, had good characters, had good character development, had a good story arc. I was actually impressed by what I saw. And I know you guys are, it's me because I like Jennifer's body, but this one was, I'm going to say it was a good story and good character development as opposed to mine with action flicks.
They've made those films. They've made a bunch of those 2 minutes. They've made a bunch of those that are good. I'm talking about science. The only reason I X out Skyline is because that's the symbol of modern day sci-fi. It's just a series of action sequences and a couple of
reality series as movie.
Yeah, and everything explodes, and then at the end, you kind of walk away going, okay, I guess that's Skyline. And you don't even think about whether you like it or not. You're just so busy being inundated with visuals that when you walk out, you realize you didn't really know what was going on.
I got aggravated because I could have liked it if they left the ending where it was.
That ending would have been good.
It would have been great. I would have said, good. You know, I see it now. But then, you know.
Yeah, it had a point. That original ending had a point. Then the secondary ending just took the point away.
Anyway.
Okay, Mark, take us out.
We're good to go. All right, so that about was the first week on It Came From Radio. Make sure you guys have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Yay!
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, happy Thanksgiving. And Channel 11 learned their lesson. They put March of the Wooden Soldiers back on.
So
And then the Christmas, we'll get the U-Log again.
Yeah.
For about an hour and a half. That would be fantastic. Okay.
Now all they need to do is follow March of the Wooden Soldiers with King Kong, the original Ray.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
For the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromradio.com. It should be up in a week. Archives are up there all the time, and don't forget to follow us on the Facebook page. All our news items were on there, and I guess that's about it. We'll see you next week.
Yay.
Yeah.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.